fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take up more of Chapter 2 of St. Peter's First Letter. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. I'm actually building this week on last week's programs as well, just trying to live with St. Peter and let his mind, his renewed mind, touch our minds and touch our hearts as we reflect on his words to us. Because these words are living and active. And as Peter told us earlier in the week, he said that we're born anew, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed. There's something in us that's alive. It's the life of God given to us in Christ Jesus through baptism. It's where it all begins, through repentance and baptism and turning to Christ and entering into that new creation and receiving his life. Christianity is about a new life and sharing that new life. God wants to do something in his Son for us to save us. That's the key. Yesterday, I just read the beginning of chapter 2. Peter's saying, so put away all malice and all guile and insincerity and envy and all slander. He's characterizing, he's reminding them of their former way of life. And the temptations that we have, we all have, you have and I have, to fall back into the habit patterns of sin that once dominated our lives. And maybe you're just having to tune into the program today and you're not sure what it is and you're first, you know, beginning to hear the message and the kind of things that Peter's describing. You might say, well, that's actually pretty common part of my life, and I don't know anything different. And what Christianity is attempting to say, what the cry of the heart of every Christian is to their friends and neighbors and those who don't yet know Christ, to say, hey, I understand exactly what you're going through. I understand exactly the temptations you feel and the dimensions of your own heart that are a mystery to you and that you don't like about yourself, that you wish you were free of. And we want to share with you, we found the answer. The answer is a person. It's Jesus of Nazareth and coming into the new life that belongs to him. So if this is new, listen up. We're going to kind of touch on some of the themes that St. Peter came to understand. So Peter uses images like first a seed, building on Jesus' teaching of the sowing of the seed. He was the sower who spread seed freely, spread that seed. And that's what Peter is saying happened. That seed is the word of God. God's word is planted into our hearts. Faith comes through hearing. And what's heard is the word of God. That's why the proclamation of the gospel is so important in the life of the church. It's one of the fundamental commands that Jesus gives the church. Really, the two big ones are, number one, the commandment of love. Lord your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And number two, the great commission. He's sending forth, he said, go make disciples of all nations. So what Jesus empowers us to do in what it means to really become a Christian and walk in his footsteps is to love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples. That's really what it's about, to be a follower of Jesus. He goes on to say, now, you are like newborn infants, just coming to the Lord, this community in Asia Minor, who are new Christians, living in a really tough environment, persecuted, lots of trial, they're being rejected by society. And he said, now, you're newborn. Don't be surprised that some of the old habit patterns are still trying to cling to you, but now, don't look back, but look forward. Long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. The spiritual milk is what? It's really the word of God and the sacraments of the church, the preaching of the church, the fellowship, and the word of God, right? That is what's going to lead us to salvation. Christ in us through his spirit. For you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Verse 4, come to him, therefore, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. That was another image of a stone, or another concrete image. This is a living stone. He's talking, he's going to start referring here to really Jesus as the cornerstone of the foundation of the new temple and the new people of God. The temple, he's going to say, we're a living, each one of us is a living stone. And that is, each one of us is part of the foundation of the new temple, which is the people of God, not a building in Israel or a building in Rome. The new temple is the people of God, united to Jesus Christ. That's what he's referring to here. He says, so come to him, that is Jesus, to that living stone who was rejected by men. He's referring to the Romans at the time, Some of the Jews at the time and others rejected Jesus' words and crucified him. But that same Jesus is in God's sight chosen and precious. Though the world rejected him, he's precious in the eyes of God. And he's been chosen by God as the firstborn of a new creation. And the reality of his being chosen is revealed perfectly in his resurrection from the dead and his reigning at the right hand of God the Father. And he goes on to say, now, and living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house. It's characteristic of the apostles that their minds were not preoccupied with the personal struggles they were enduring in their lives, the discomfort, the hardships, the disappointments that this world isn't everything we may have hoped it could be. They're always looking with an eternal perspective at the reality of what Christ has done in them and for them, what he's currently doing in them. They came to understand that what they knew by faith was more real than the world they could see and touch. And the promises of God were more sure and reliable than the promises of anything you could receive in this world. So Peter's describing the reality of what Jesus is doing. One of the things he's doing is he's building us into a spiritual house. That is, the people of God united together. So he said, be like Jesus, become living stones yourselves. That is, say yes to the work of the Holy Spirit that's in you, who is leading you to be conformed to Christ, to follow in his footsteps, to be united to his people, to engage his mission. And fundamentally, he said, to be a holy priesthood. It's referenced first again to the Torah Testament and God's establishing the priesthood of Israel and building the temple and teaching Israel what it means to worship God. And they became the people on the earth who knew the true God. God revealed himself to them. And he trained them, and he disciplined them, and he formed and shaped them. And he taught them about who he is and who human beings are in relationship to him and what it means to come into his presence, the presence of the holy God. And so Israel offered sacrifices, and they had a priesthood. They had the Levites. They had a part of the people of Israel was set apart by God to lead the people of Israel in offering right sacrifices to God. Part of what they're taught is you can't just come to God on your own terms. So Jesus, as we know from Hebrews, and we'll see themes of it happening as we approach Holy Thursday, Good Friday, is Jesus now is the high priest. He's the ultimate high priest. And the image from the letter of Hebrews is the sacrifice that's offered in the temple. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. That's that place right at the center, right at the heart of the temple in Israel that held the tablets of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Aaron staff, and the bread that was given to the Israelites in the desert. And so only the high priest could enter into that holy place that was understood to be the holiest place in the cosmos, right there, because God's presence was uniquely there. He was uniquely present there. And so we know that Jesus now, according to the teaching of Scripture, he's that high priest who's passed through the curtain, like the high priest of the people of Israel used to do. He used to go behind the veil into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies. That earthly temple is an image of the temple that's in heaven, of the glorious presence of the holiness of God in heaven. And Jesus is the high priest on behalf of all of us. He's the firstborn now of a new creation. He's the one who has the right, by virtue of his obedience and his faithfulness to the Father, to enter right into the presence of the Father and to offer him eternal worship and praise. And because Jesus, one of us, has entered into that holy place, those who are united to Jesus through baptism and the Spirit can now enter with Jesus and become part of that body that Jesus is gathering in the earth of saved human beings. That is, people Jesus is saving, and he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come and hear and be a part of this right worship before God, because that's what we were ultimately created for. So what Peter is saying here, he's forming you into a holy priesthood. And the priest is the one who offers right sacrifice to God. Jesus is that high priest who's teaching all of us and showing all of us and making it possible for us because of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the purifying work of his blood being shed for us to purify us, to allow us to be united to him in praise to the Father. So Peter said, you're being formed to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I mean, this is news to people in the world, I think, that this line Peter says, offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The assumption in the world is we come to God on our terms, not on his terms. Anything we offer to God is acceptable. If we think it's acceptable, it's acceptable. But that's not reality. That's not what's revealed in the scripture. That's not what Jesus taught, nor it's not what the apostles understood. What's acceptable to God is the offering of his son, Jesus. Jesus is the one, the faithful son, the faithful witness, the firstborn of a new creation that has offered a pure sacrifice of his own life to the Father. That offering of his life to the Father, that's the acceptable sacrifice. And those who are united to Christ in the Holy Spirit offer right sacrifice to God. That's expressed most fully for us in the celebration of the Eucharist at Sunday Mass, at Daily Mass, where the priest stands in the person of Jesus Christ, this imperfect person, has been really commissioned and ordained by the descendants of the apostles to stand in the person of Jesus so that by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, that holy sacrifice of Jesus' offer of his himself in obedience and trust to the Father on Calvary can be represented. That, friends, is the sacrifice that pleases God. The sacrifice of the love and faithfulness in obedience of his beloved Son. That's the sacrifice that opens heaven for the human race. That's what allows us to enter into the presence of the Father. And so Jesus commanded the apostles, and it comes right down to today, that that sacrifice be remembered and be offered again and again and again. So the people of God can rally around that sacrifice and say amen to the Father and say, Father, this is the holy sacrifice we understand that has saved us. We come into your presence in your Son, clothed with him, with his holy garments, washed in his blood. We don't come to you on our own strength, on our own conviction, on our own power, because we know we're sinful creatures. And we come giving thanks that the offer of your Son has saved us. He's given us power to become children of God. We who were once enemies of God are now children of God. And we're welcome into the presence and the court of our loving Father because of Jesus. And the church unites us to that sacrifice. Friends, that's why there's no other Savior. That's why Peter and the apostles teach so clearly these beautiful and profound images that communicate the reality of what Jesus has done to us. We'll continue to take up this session tomorrow. Friends, let's open our hearts fully to the invitation of Christ to become living stones and a holy priesthood. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.